which is funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And through the program, she directs multiple nutrition education activities throughout the city of Boston and includes nutrition education for healthy lifestyles and maintaining weight for children and adults. And she is the co-leader for Boston's Healthy Weight Action Learning Collaborative.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here to present to you on our collaboration with the Action Learning Collaborative. And this is a collaboration between City Match and Maternal and Child Health and Boston's Health Department and the City of Boston's Health Department. So this was a wonderful way for both the state and city to come together and partner around healthy weight for women to improve maternal and health outcomes. And the Boston Public Health Commission and the health department are in the same city. Unlike other eight states, you have county health departments. We have many city health departments. So this was our City of Boston Health Department and the State Health Department. And we also worked with Harvard School of Public Health and many of our community health centers to work on this project. And our goal was to develop a community-informed report that would be utilized by many agencies to support best practices for achieving healthy weight with women. And we looked at Black and Latina women, and we really want to identify culturally approaches to promote healthy weight and promising best practices, as well as the resources that are needed to promote healthy weight. As you can see, Boston is changing. It used to be very segregated communities, for many years it was predominantly white, but it is really moving, and you can see that it's very mixed now, and it makes up half the population of ethnic and minorities. When you look at our state data in terms of comparing women who are overweight or obese, luckily, Boston is doing slightly better than the U.S., and we know that overweight and obesity is increasing. So that we first looked at our state data and then for overweight, and then we looked at our obese women, and we're slightly under the national average. But when you look at our city data, which is here, even though the minorities are particularly affected by overweight and obesity, and you can see that there are starking differences between the Black and Hispanic population in our city. We also looked at physical activity data, and women are less likely to be physically active than men, and that Black women are significantly less active than white women, and Hispanic even less than Black, and Asians are even less physically active. So we have a lot of opportunities to look at physical activity and how we can increase that. Income plays a very large role in physical activity, and that you can see the higher the income, the more likely people are to be physically active and the less income. And that, as you'll see in other slides, that's a real effect of why people are not as physically active, is the perceived cost of physical activity. We looked at fruit consumption of 5 or more fruits and vegetables. Overall, everyone is doing poorly, which is nothing new that you don't already know. But significantly, our Boston women, the Latino and African American women, are doing a lot less and compared to statewide. And so our project strategy was information before intervention. We really wanted to hear the voices of the women to see what do we really need to do and what are their real concerns. So I showed you the data collection from both our state and city, and we also interviewed providers to see the provider's perspective of how can we provide appropriate services to Black and Latino women. Throughout the process of working with the collaborative, we looked at a lot of data. There were travel team members that met four times throughout the collaborative, and we have a lot of data and literature from that. And one of the things that we gleaned was the top 10 healthy habits should be incorporated. And those are really around physical activity and healthy eating and the typical foods and habits that go along with healthy eating and maintaining healthy weight. And healthy at any size message. You'll see why this becomes very important in a few minutes, but that many women perceive that they can be healthy no matter what their size. We also had a Harvard School of Public Health student look at reviewing literature throughout many resources and came up with the access to healthy, affordable food and physical activity are key barriers, and what can we do about that? And cultural issues should be addressed, particularly between BMI and family concerns. So how did we do it? We did focus groups with women. Our sample size is a little bit small. We had a little bit of trouble getting many of the women to come to many of the focus groups. They were split into groups based on their ethnicity, Black and Latina. We didn't distinguish any further than that, and they self-identified which group they preferred to go into. They were ages of 18 to 24, 25 to 34, and 35. And the groups were either conducted in English or Spanish. We also provided a questionnaire to our providers. And we had 21 service providers in the questionnaire, and we had several face-to-face interviews of providers. And this is a good array of the type of providers that we had, and the average of them had 11 years of experience working with women ages 18 to 45. So, what did the women have to tell us? Well, almost all of them agreed that healthy eating meant eating fruits and vegetables, salads, fruits, and perceived what was junk food was unhealthy. And in general, women mentioned that being motivated and receiving nutrition information in classes and any information from the media was important to them. Physical activity, what counted, differed in the different age groups. The younger women perceived that physical activity meant that you had to go to the gym or you had to do something that cost money, whereas the older women really saw that everyday activities of picking up their children, carrying children, cleaning the house served as physical activity, and walking served as physical activity. And women really knew that physical activity was a great motivator for losing weight, and they wanted to get involved in exercising with a friend, joining a sport, and they saw it as a social event, and many of the women did join. We had community walk groups through our STEPS program, and many of the women joined community walk groups for physical activity. The perception of body image. This one was very interesting to us. The older women felt that what the doctor said was a healthy weight, and this was their BMI, was too thin or skinny or didn't fit their body type. So, and these were women who were significantly overweight, and their perception was that BMI was very unrealistic, mostly because they either never achieved it at any point in their life, or when they were at a healthy BMI, they were in junior high or high school. And after that, they just increasingly gained weight, and they just thought we could never get back there. Many believe that that they don't fit into that European standard model. Perception of health, they did connect between healthy weight and health, but they also agree that that didn't necessarily mean that they were healthier. The Latino women were okay being heavier and would be willing for physical activity, and as long as they could just feel healthier, that their weight was okay. The black women, on the other hand, felt that weight was not an issue because they had many friends that were thin but had significant health issues. So they were mixed about the actual weight, and that as long as you were moving and eating a healthy diet, that was more important. Overall, they wanted referrals to nutritionists, but many of them didn't either get there or they didn't follow the advice. Oftentimes, they told us the person giving them the advice wasn't of their same culture and didn't understand the foods that they were eating, so they didn't always take the advice. They reported motivation from the family as important for giving advice. And really, if they could talk to someone who has gone through the same experience and has significantly lost weight and kept it off, that was much more important than whatever the doctor would say. So the lessons learned, of course, the city and the state health department, we work together very well. So this was a natural fit for us to work together. Recruiting participants was challenging for the focus groups, and we are going to go back and do some more. But what we did find is that the pre-planned focus groups worked better, where you were assigned, they saw a flyer that said this is a focus group on a certain date. If you want to come, come, versus the pull-off tab and say, call us. So that did not work as well. And what we're really going to explore is more of the social and cultural differences between the two women. So the next steps that we're looking at is, again, the literature review really strongly says that healthy weight at any size, and that you can reduce by anywhere from 7 to 10%, can achieve some health indicators in reducing chronic diseases. And that little bit of weight is a motivator for women. So the example was, if you were at 200 pounds and you lose 20, women felt like, I can achieve that, even though they may need to lose significantly more, but starting off slowly was very important to them. The providers really wanted motivational interviewing techniques so that they could really reach their patients emotionally and help reduce the resistance to change. The community needs that we want to work with the environment and increase physical activity within the community, getting women to join the multiple walk groups in the community that do not cost any money to them, and really having them look that physical activity does not have to cost a lot of money, and that there are many things that you could do at home. Nutrition education classes through referrals and community classes where consumers can develop healthy habits on a budget, increasing fruits and vegetables and whole grains, and selecting healthier beverages versus sweetened beverages. And what we found is that women the only nutrition services they received were through WIC. And once they aged out of WIC, there were no other nutrition services available to them unless they developed some comorbidities. So what we're instituting is we're utilizing the NIH's WECAN programs, and we are doing nutrition educations through WECAN. And the women are attending, and it's a 4-class sessions, and the attendance is very high. Almost 90% of the women attend all 4 classes. And we cover these topic areas, and it is offered to the women for free. So our future research is that we really do need to work together, but we will be looking at doing a bit more focus groups and really looking at what are the social and emotional factors for women who suffer abuse, because this is a really protective factor for them in terms of their weight. They keep their weight high so that they feel like no one would be attracted to them, no one's going to abuse them, and how can we help women with those issues. And these are our partners from the Boston Public Health Commission and from the Boston Public Health. And again, we really want to thank CityMatch and Association of Maternal and Child Health for allowing us to come together and working on this project, because it's been very valuable, and we're sending out our report to the community health centers and community providers so that they can have some really key things to keep in mind when they're working with women around healthy weight. So thank you very much.
Great. Please, as we're happy to have you come in and out, but please try not to let the door slam on your way. And again, please take